This is Classic Business with Michael Avery on Classic 1027 in Johannesburg and Fine Music Radio in Cape Town. Offshore investments feature.
Time to go offshore with Mark Whitman, the CEO of Unum Capital, who's built a trading platform for Classic Business listeners. To begin trading offshore, go on and visit trade1027.co.za, where we put all of the weekly conversations up on the site, all the podcasts, all the interesting analysis and advice and tips. Evening, Mark. It's actually amazing how markets have brushed aside some of the virus fears in the US in particular. We've seen record highs on the back of all of this liquidity being pumped into the system. But in Asia this morning, it did look like a bit of fear was returning.
Absolutely. Sometimes I feel like we're trading in an alternative reality, and like we're in a sci-fi movie. So the markets have recovered pretty much all of the pre-corona worries. If you look at China, China's rebounded all the way back to its sort of post-holiday losses. And we just see this euphoria in the markets. And one of the places we're seeing it in is the massive amounts of buying in call options in the U.S. market. But as you say, rightly so, some of that hot air was let out of the markets this morning when Apple warned about its quarterly earnings.
Yeah, before we get on to Apple, for listeners out there who might be wondering, how does a call option work? And I know you're a big options trader.
Well, retail options are not very big in this country, which is a pity, and they trade a lot in the US, and they really are a good instrument for clients who want to have upside potential but don't want to overly have massive amounts of risk, because you can only lose your option premium. So basically what an option is a derivative which allows you to buy, let's say, control a basket of shares or an index, and what you're doing is you're buying a derivative based on the movement of that, but you're only putting down what's called an option premium, and that's what gives you your gearing. So what we're seeing in the U.S. is that a huge amount of call options, those are people who think the market's going to go up. So they're basically taking a bet that the U.S. will be higher within the next quarter than it is at the moment, so they buy call options. If you thought the market was going to go down, you would buy put options, and that would be a bet on the market going down. And now, looking at the amount of options that are being traded at the moment, these are record highs. You have to look back almost 10 years after the last crash. That's when we had the same amount of options trading. So I don't know, getting a little bit one of these deja vu feelings.
Yeah, one of these deja vu feelings in not the best kind of way, unfortunately, when it comes to what happened 10 years ago. Is that pre or post the financial crisis?
That was post the financial crisis, the 2 years thereafter. So if you'd actually been buying call options then, you'd actually done exceptionally well.
Yeah.
Don't think that's the case now. I think there might be a lot of options traders have to unwind positions. Another interesting chart that I came across this morning on Bloomberg's was actually that this is the lowest that we've had shorts. So those are people who are selling short who think the market's going down. So this is the smallest amount of shorts on the S&P 500 ETF that we've had in the last 2 years. So not only have you got guys who are buying call options who are massively bullish, but you've got very few bears in the market that are hedging their portfolios as well.
And that's crowded.
Frothy.
Yeah,
it does feel crowded.
It feels very crowded at these levels, and the market perhaps ignoring some of the reality. Because if you look at what's happening in China and the impact that it's having on supply chains, take me back to the Apple effect. Apple really spooked markets in Asia this morning, saying they're walking back from their earlier guidance. They're finding out that supply chains in China, which is where most of your iPhones are manufactured, are really being impacted by the coronavirus.
So the market this morning was waiting for earnings from Walmart and HSBC, and I don't think they expected Apple. So, Walmart and HSBC both reporting today, both have exposure to China. So the market was going to use that as a sort of litmus test to see how things were going on with quarterly earnings and to sort of get an indication of the next quarter. So HSBC, first of all, came out flagging risks due to the virus, talking about slashing jobs, fundamental restructuring. Not very good news out of HSBC, so it got punished a little bit. Walmart missed on its earnings, also made some noise about the virus. So those were the two that the market was expecting. What I don't think the market was expecting was Apple, as you say, to come out and say that quarterly sales will miss. And basically that comes down to sales, sales and distribution and production. And these supply chain issues, I don't know if they're going to go away in a hurry.
Well, they won't go away for as long as we see this delay in Chinese workers going back to work. We've seen the Chinese authorities actually trying to incentivize many of the factories to get workers back to work, but there's still a lot of fear around just how contagious and how fast spreading the coronavirus is at the moment. These are the sort of economic realities versus the frothy market. Now, I can understand why the market's frothy, though, because what we've also seen on the other side, Mark, is central banks being very eager to stimulate and to support markets and to continue having this sort of central bank put. But for how much longer can it be the finger in the dam wall, so to speak?
This is a trade-off between a sort of recovery stimulus story versus fundamentals. And I don't really know. I'm just a trader. I'm not a macroeconomic sort of guy. I just trade what I see. And the good where you can find value today is clearly gold moves. You know, so you get gold, which was slowly trundling back down to a sort of key area of 1550. It's now bounced back up and heading back towards 1600, 1620. So I leave those sort of complex macroeconomic questions to the economists. I just trade what's in front of me.
And what are you seeing on the Walmart front? What is your chart telling you about Walmart?
So Walmart, you know, I was hoping the market was expecting that they wouldn't. So Target gave us some numbers last week, which weren't great. I think the market expected Walmart to be in line. It now missed. So I think the original chart that I was looking at Walmart, which was that it was sort of creating this bullish flag and looking okay, I think you could throw that chart away. And I've had another look at it, and I think you could see Walmart pull back now to 117, 118, and then it becomes a reasonable buy level. I went and had a look at what the analysts have. They have a target price of 126 on the stock, a moderate buy. So I think at 117, 118, that probably sounds reasonable to me. So, but I wouldn't be rushing in there.
What else is interesting that reports this week?
So a couple of ones that I think keep an eye out for. Not a stock I trade, but the Norwegian Cruise Liner Holdings is reporting. And I think cruise liners reporting is going to be very interesting when you hear about zombie ships and these sort of things.
Horror movie stuff.
They really are going to have, are going to feel the bite, in my opinion. Dropbox is also coming out. I think people have stopped thinking about Dropbox as a stock. It's one I must go and have another look at. And then John Deere is coming out later in the week. And we've traded John Deere a couple of times. And I looked at it pre-earnings, and it's right in the middle of the range. For me, the top of the range is 180, bottom of the range is 160. I think if those earnings are not great and they warn about China and all sorts of, you know, come out with some negative statements, that could pull all the way back down to where we were getting involved previously, like 140, 150. And I think that might become interesting. So keep that one on the radar.
It's another one that is a bit of a bellwether stock into the real economy. On the IPO front, IPOs have gone rather quiet. Maybe it's just that time of year, but they're not really all that many on the horizon.
There's nothing on the horizon this week, and quite disappointing. You know, it'd be nice to have something with some something we could trade. But I've looked at that IPO ETF of ours. We're up almost 9-10% year to date. I think that's enough.
Oh, time to take some profits there. Yeah, that's a smart move.
I'm going to put that one in the bank. If it comes back down, we'll put it back in the portfolio. We've traded it several times. It's going out. I'll see what I can get for it today in the market and we'll put that profits into something else.
And then on the ETF watch front, anything interesting there?
So I think very similar to the shipping companies that we chatted about the last week or two. I think the airliners are going to come off. One of those stocks that as they're not flying to mainland China, it's going to hurt. We're going to start seeing numbers coming out of them. And I think those numbers are the four biggest airlines in the U.S. have all ceased flights to some of mainland China. And that's going to have to hurt. So from an ETF play point of view, it's one we've looked at before. It's called JETS. And I think if we get bad numbers out of the main airlines, so that's American Airlines, Delta, Southwest, if we get bad numbers or bad indication of numbers out of them, I think that ETF's going to come down, and I think it might be worth putting into the portfolio on bad numbers. If I look at the analysts have on those four airliners, they have a buy, hold, and buy. The PE on the ETF is 9.5, which is not expensive, and could get a bit cheaper. I think we'd probably add that one in on a pullback.
And Mark, you know, it's quite ironic that The Economist in its December issue, looking at some of the big trends over the the next 10 years, as it does at the turn of the decade, said Chinese tourism was going to be one of those key growth engines for airlines and for the global tourist industry. And we're seeing the trend away from the so-called Chinese tour groups snapping everything in sight with their cameras, that is, to individual Chinese travelers. And they expected phenomenal growth out of China. So while the coronavirus may have put a temporary hold on that, I think the longer term macro driver of an increased number of Chinese tourists remains. So a very interesting one, that one, if you want to hold this for the longer term. Now, normally you give us three stock picks, but today you're going to profile three sells.
So just in case listeners have got these in their portfolios, my technical analyst, Lester, put out three that he thinks have probably reached the top of their momentum. So it's just flagging them. I'm not calling these a short sells. I'm just saying if you've got them in your portfolio and you're potentially in the money, maybe think about taking them on, taking them off. The first one is used to be called Viacom. It's now Viacom CBS, which is quite a long name, but it's looking a little bit near the top. So if you're holding that, maybe think about letting it go. UPS, another one that it very much technically looks like it's rolling over a little bit, and that it's done a top. And the third one is Triple M, 3M, which is a stock that we have had in the portfolio previously, and we have traded it a few times. It looks like it's pulling back, and I think that could pull back all the way back to 150. And if it gets to 150, I think we'd be interested in putting it back into the portfolio. Yeah. So we'd look for a bounce off 150 there if it pulled all the way back.
And you've shared some very interesting charts with those as well. So I hope you'll be putting that up on the website for listeners to go and have a look at. And then you've got some technical setups as well. Adidas Swatch and the Aussie dollar, I think this is.
So let me start with the Aussie dollar. Only reason we threw that chart in there was we chatted about this about 2 weeks ago. It looked like the Aussie dollar was trying to recover. It's not the case. Took a bit of a hiding over the last couple of days. I would be cautious about the Aussie dollar. We have the Australian index in our ETF in our portfolio. It actually held up quite well this morning. I'm just keeping an eye on the Aussie dollar. I'm not saying have a trade on it, but just keep an eye on it and keep on an eye on any stock that has an Aussie dollar component in it, because we think that the Aussie dollar could weaken a little bit from here. So that's more just put it on your radar. The other two, certainly maybe two short-term trading ideas, one on Adidas. There looks to be some support at around about 276 to 280. So if it gets there or thereabouts, I'm going to put that into the portfolio. And the other one is the Swatch Group. Lester pointed this one out to me. He sent it out this morning. It's sort of breaking through a horizontal resistance level. I'm not really a break trader, but if it does break and hold that level, that means that becomes then support. And we probably will then put in the portfolio. So that's two trades for the portfolio, Adidas and Swatch.
Well, tell Lester I'm going to nickname him Adidas from now on, because it stands for All Day I Dream About Shares. And I'm sure that's exactly what he does on the trading desk over at Unum Capital. And then lastly, a very interesting story about digital dividends, a big development to watch this week in the world of dividends.
So this seems to be a first in the market. I haven't come across anybody else. And there's a traded stock called Overstock. And we all know how dividends work. You either get them in cash or specie. Specie is when you get the shares. This is a new one. This is a third option, which says instead of getting them in cash specie, you can now have them in blockchain. You can have them as a sort of a token. Not quite sure how this is going to work. They've got more details on the website T0 about how this is going to trade. It's a blockchain development. And really what it's saying is they will issue the dividend directly to clients, and that will be then tradable on this blockchain market. So that's kind of new. It's not cash. It's not shares that you get back in the same share trading on the NASDAQ. It's a sort of almost secondary listing via the blockchain. So it's something to watch. First company to do it.
And potentially not taxable either. We'll have to wait and see how that develops. That's your trip offshore with Mark Wertman, the CEO of Unum Capital, who's built a trading platform for Classic Business listeners. So get on down to trade1027.co.za to have a look.